Yeah, to show myself, I can only see a video of myself. I can't see you guys with my phone. So that seemed kind of pointless.
Are you still in the car?
Yeah, I'm in the car. I'm at work.
Wait,
are you taking a break right now?
Yeah, this is my lunch break.
All right, we got to get this going then.
Are you seriously at your work break right now?
Yeah.
All right, well, fuck it. Let's get started then. All right.
Slim Ducker. Run BTIP, baby. Most ho, dirty side. When I hit the club, all the girls show me love. Buying out the bar, got drank by the jug. In the VIP with the chicks and the drugs.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. We got a special guest today. Our good friend Jacob, who is a restaurateur or chef or something with food in Louisville, Kentucky.
Yo.
What up, Jake? Say hi to everybody who's listening.
What's up, guys?
Hold on. I want to pause. Didn't we literally just say we wanted that to come up organically?
No.
I think, man, excited to see Jake.
We decided on all three things: organic, ending, and starting out.
I thought so. Organic.
Just fuck that from the get go.
I thought organic referred to food.
Okay.
Yeah, in my case, yeah, but at home, no.
All right. Well, for everybody listening, today's going to be our special food topics issue, but we're going to start with quick takes. I got some quick topics we're going to go over, and then we're going to jump right into it. Jake is going to be the moderator for the day, but I'm just going to do this bit. So, first order of business. We got to eulogize the Rockets. We got to say something.
Rest in peace, man.
Yeah.
I'll tell you one thing. It's tough seeing the Facebook trolls and all the social media trolls after that loss. The next morning was rough for me. I wanted to curse some people out. But other than that, hey, they gave it their all. We could say what they did wrong, what they did right all day. They still played a hell of a game. The first half was amazing. You can't deny that.
Joe, what do you think?
I'm not mad that the Rockets lost. If I'm mad at anything, it's that everybody can clown on the Rockets today, and I can't really clap back at all.
Oh, you're so right. Exactly. Other than Lakers fans, I could just be like,
I just got to take this L.
You know, I agree with that, but like, and this is might be unpolitically correct or something, but the worst fans are actually some of the Rockets fan accounts. Rockets fans are so fucking thirsty. Like when Rondo made that crack about celebrating Isaiah Thomas, like, oh, this is what we celebrate now. I sometimes feel like that applies to us. Like, guys, we've won championships. We don't have to be this desperate for recognition. Other than that, I'm fucking proud of this team. I'm super fucking proud of this team. We would have won. I would have been right if, because I called the Rockets in six. I would have been right if Chris Paul didn't get hurt. But, you know, whatever. That's how it goes. But I'm fucking proud of this team. Like, when Kevin Durant joined the Warriors and they swept, or gentlemen swept or whatever, LeBron last year, everybody packed it in this year. The Cavs didn't trade that Brooklyn pick because they're afraid of the Warriors. I don't care what anybody tells me. I don't think Boston activated Hayward and Kyrie because they're afraid of the Warriors. I mean, that might be the practical choice, but it's definitely not the courageous choice.
Boston did not expect to run as far as they did.
Yeah, fair.
That's why they shut Kyrie down.
Yeah, fair. Absolutely. I don't think anybody did. I think maybe if they knew they might have had a deep run in them, maybe they do. But they still more motivated by not expecting to beat the Warriors even if they could get to the end.
Yeah.
But the Rockets went all in. They said fuck that, and they came at them hard with everything they had, spent everything they could, and spiritually, in a sense, they won because they were right. They exposed the Warriors. Like, for all the trash talk about ISO and switches, we smothered that offense. But when we lost Chris Paul, we couldn't keep up. We shut those motherfuckers down.
Agreed.
We did.
Yeah, just running out of gas in the second half was just—it was so hard to watch. I think I had an additional, like, 8 shots of bourbon because of that. Like, mid third quarter, it was like, oh man, this is tough to watch, man. It was hard.
No, I was down one bottle of wine at just the first half, then I had to drink a 6-pack. Yeah. It was rough.
I want to know, look, I'm not blaming officials or by any means, but I just want to know, like, when did they decide to stop, like, calling fouls behind the arc? I mean, there was three solid James Harden fouls, like, 3-point line, he's shooting, he's got hands on him. Guaranteed obvious fouls that were not called. They were called on the ground, but they didn't count. They didn't count the points, and I just didn't understand. And that was one of those things where it's like, all right, I guess this is the way they're calling it tonight. But they were obvious and clear fouls. Again, not blaming the officials for the loss or anything like that. But I just, that was very difficult to watch, considering our bread and butter was just keep shooting, keep firing. So these were normal shots that James Harden would have taken. Joe, am I wrong for that?
Joe, you want to take that?
Well, I think you have to look at, one, who the three referees were. They're three guys who don't really call a lot of fouls for the Rockets. Like, that was going into the game. And two, I think a lot of refs, one, don't like the Rockets. And two, you're just not getting those easy calls that we usually get in the playoffs. Especially in a game seven, because the refs are trying so hard not to be a factor that it ends up being a big factor when you're a team like us that really gets a lot of their points at the free throw line. Yeah. And then once those threes didn't start going in, that's usually a situation where, shit, all right, I'm going to get to the free throw line, and that'll, you know, I see the ball going in. That never happened because they're not getting calls either. Really, this game really fell apart when Harden didn't get that continuation on the three, and then they went down and they hit a three. It was like a 6-point swing right back to back. Yeah. And we never really recovered from that.
Yeah, a couple things about that. First of all, yeah, Scott Foster fucking hates us. He's always had. I think we're 0-8 when Scott Foster's a ref this year.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not gonna say the fix is in because I'm not one of those, but it makes it.
No.
You almost want to give credence to that kind of conspiracy nonsense when you hear something like
he
that.
He had an attitude the entire time. Every call when he looked at him, he was just like quick fired right back, like get out of my face. It's ridiculous.
And I think that's when we miss Chris Paul, too, that play you talked about. Chris Paul is the king of the sort of 2-point release shot, the stop the bleeding shot. That's why we kept suffering in the third quarter. Third quarter is Chris Paul time.
Oh, that mid-range. Yeah, absolutely.
As far as the rule, I think there is also some, I don't know what word to use, some flux into how that rule is called, because they're calling it in a new way. I actually agree with the way they changed the rules. You don't get continuation if you start the shot after the whistle, which you used to be able to do. You were able to start the shot as soon as you heard the whistle. So they took that away. Now if the shot hasn't already started by the whistle, they don't call it. But that's such a minuscule amount of time to adjust it. Their timing is weird. That's part of it. That doesn't excuse all of them. Some of them were just bad calls. But like you said, you can't blame the refs, right? The refs didn't make us miss 27 3-pointers.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Just some things that piss me off as a Rockets fan, that's all.
Yeah. I hear you. Well, still, I'm proud of my team. My Gerald Green jersey came in the mail today.
Oh, nice. You know, a buddy of mine, so I'm from Southeast. I lived in Sagemont neighborhood, off 45, and I had a buddy who kept calling him Sagemont Gerald. I'm not sure if that – I didn't look it up, but I'm not sure if that references where he's from. But he does have that 45 South tattoo on his shoulder.
Yeah, I think he's from Southeast Houston. I think that's right.
And that's where
he went
to
that fake high school.
What's that?
He probably picked on you in high school. You're famous.
No. He went to a fake possible. High school. It was like a Gulf Coast Academy or something. It doesn't even exist anymore. Oh. It was a fake high school.
Oh. Okay, I know. I'm sure I played him in, like, the Texas Basketball Association or something. Just got demolished. But, yeah, Sagemont Gerald, I love that dude.
Yeah, we all do. I got the city jersey with the Chinese lettering. I wanted Gerald Green to represent the city.
Nice.
That's my boy. Nice. Hashtag awesome. MVP vote. All right, so another quick hitter, and then we'll move on. Just because it's happened today. Did y'all see what happened with Roseanne?
Yeah.
I saw a couple memes out there, but I'm not too sure what happened.
So real quick, somebody who used to work for the Obama office, I don't even remember who it was, but Roseanne basically, she's an African-American woman, and Roseanne called her an ape, or something like, this is what happens when you blend apes with Muslims. Just the worst
thing you could say. She said she's a combination of the Muslim Brotherhood and Planet of the Apes.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's what it was. Out of control. Yeah. First of all, it's like, I don't know what you're going for other than you're clearly being racist, so it's also just not a good joke. But yeah. ABC, I mean, pulled that shit quick. They fired her today. That show got canceled. Which yeah. is kind of fucked up because a lot of people lost their jobs. But at the same time, like, fuck Roseanne, you can't have that. And you probably can't get away with firing her.
Yeah, well, that's insane, man.
Yeah, her name's on the show.
Right. Even on a comedy platform, like, dude, you just can't. You can't say stuff like that. And not only that, it just sounds like, did you mean that, you know? Like, it's horrible.
Oh, she meant it. She meant it.
Absolutely horrible.
Yeah. Yeah. No, she wanted all to see it. She definitely meant it. She didn't say that to her friend or, like, get caught talking to Billy Bush. Like, she's went on her computer, wrote it out, and sat back. Really? Yeah, it was a tweet. Like, she made sure everybody could see it. At this point, the I don't understand how Twitter works does not apply. We all know how it works. Anybody can see it. Because you used to get that excuse a lot, like, 4 years ago. Like, oh, I thought it was, like, private just for my followers. Like, nope, we can all see it. Even then, still sucks. But it's just, it's just crazy. But what's interesting is now, I don't know if you saw today, I guess it's Jake, what's his name? Probosiek, I don't know, some fucking clown. He is getting this fire Bill Maher movement going because he compared Trump to orangutan and he says it's the same thing. It's clearly not.
Please.
It's clearly not, yeah, right? But I think if we all keep our mouths shut, we can just lose Bill Maher too. And it's like two It's like two Christmases.
Yeah, Roseanne's shit was so bad she's gonna get Bill Maher fired. Thank you.
How the fuck did that happen? Like, maybe the next
two for one.
Yeah, maybe the next time that Trump fires one of his staffers, somehow that results in like the head of the DNC getting fired too. Like, what a weird connection. Two people that are both all totally unalike and yet completely unlikable. Like, it's so. I hopefully by the time this is posted, Bill Maher has lost his job. That would be amazing. Drove by the pine, headed to the club and the boss top down. Slow thug about to climb, represent H-Time. If you love me, you gon' smile. If you hate me, you gon' frown. Cause me and my boss hogs about to bow till we bow. This year, I won't stop.
All right, the wonderful world of food. So, you know, now. Keep in mind, I started listening to this podcast whenever because you all posted it. But when I was listening to it, I was like, man, it's like I'm in the same room again with my boys, Jorge and Joe. So I was very excited to listen to this podcast. But that being said, we're in two different – we're all in different cities now. You got, you know, Houston and Boston or – I'm sorry, you're in a –
Worcester,
yeah. I'm sorry for not remembering that. And then Louisville. So I just I was kind of thinking, you know, a lot of what I've been cooking is Tex-Mex, just because, you know, I've been visiting Houston a lot lately and enjoying, forgetting how much I love a homemade flour tortilla. So we've been doing a lot of Tex-Mex at the restaurant. It got me thinking, like, just everywhere you go, you see certain versions of Tex-Mex everywhere. And now, like, you remember getting a $2, $3 taco. And it's like from scratch, tortilla, house-made, right there in front of you, and it's like $3, you know, at most. And now you got these $6, $7, you know, Tex-Mex tacos, which, you know, at some points I'm guilty of it too, but I'm talking like lobster tacos and stuff like that. But margaritas, you know, margaritas for $8 to $9 to $12. And I just, I wanted to get you all's take on it because I know it's everywhere because it's in Louisville. And it's been in Chicago, it's been in Vegas, it's certainly in Vegas and how expensive it is to get just regular Tex-Mex. Like, these big-name chefs take on Tex-Mex and then they just charge like crazy. I just wanted to see what the take is on, I know Texas, but actually I don't know Texas. I don't know what it's like in Houston anymore. Like, is it going to that that whole new generation to where they're bumping up prices and charging more than what it's worth, you know what I mean?
Yes. The answer is yes. It's invaded here. Like, there's, like, we have, like, a velvet taco and a fusion taco, taco trucks now that are upscale taco trucks.
Whoa, go back. What the fuck is a velvet taco? That sounds like... what the fuck is that?
Velvet taco it's exactly, it's what you just said. It's a $5 taco place. It's called Velvet Taco because, you know, they want to make a pussy joke. It's on Washington. They sell brisket tacos,
I'm glad you said it, man, because that's. I was like, I can't be the only one who remembers that.
No, that's their joke.
That's some outdated fucking pussy joke right there, though. Like, what's next, Beaver Taco? Like, come on, man.
Everything's coming back, man.
We have a barbecue place called Beavers.
Oh no.
Oh my gosh.
Well, out here.
But
okay, like, so again, no, please. Well,
I just wanted to add one more. So the Fusion Taco is right next door to the old Tex-Mex place, Tepatillion.
Oh, that's so fucked up.
It's just, and it's like right next door. And I look at it, I've eaten there once, and that's only because there was too big of a crowd at TP. But it just seems like, why are you here? Like, the best tacos are right here.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But it's good to hear that the line is at top tier. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Tepatitlan, man, that place ain't going nowhere. And for those of you who are listening and don't know what that is, it's a little place in the Heights. It's just old school Tex-Mex food. You know, everybody in there speaks Spanish, and they make everything from scratch. And you can still get a taco for $2.50 or less. And right next door, they got this bougie-ass Fusion Taco. That's right by my mom's. Like, I can walk through those places.
Yep.
Yeah, that Fusion Taco is dead-ass empty, though, every time I see it. I don't think Texans or Houstonians are going to fall for that to the extent where it's going to replace the culture entirely. You just got to accommodate for it.
I mean, it's one thing for the new scene, the new food culture to come up and do something and have their say-so, but to actually just take Tex-Mex, which, in my opinion, is the cuisine of Texas. It's not barbecue. It's Tex-Mex. But, you know, to try and just replicate that and make it this bigger, more, you know, fun thing and put an actual old-school joke behind it, it's just not going to work.
Man, you know what, though? At this point, I'll take a $7 taco if it tastes good. I'm out here in, you know, New England where they don't enjoy seasoning. Like, the Tex-Mex food, and you can't see me doing air quotes, the Tex-Mex food out here is fucking booty. It's just terrible. Because here's the thing.
There Tex-Mex, though?
Well, here's the thing you got to understand about New England food. New England really values freshness. They're not into...
Yes, seafood,
They're not into, like, marinades or seasoning. And because of that, and I think this will all make sense, the best food in New England is seafood. By far, seafood. The seafood here beats the seafood we have in Houston, I have to admit. Every other's, and also pizza. They, for some reason, are really good pizza here. But if it's not pizza and it's not seafood, like, just move on down the road because it's probably not going to be good.
What kind of style pizza are we talking here, boy?
Oh, lots of different kinds. Flatbread.
Are we talking like the thin, Neapolitan, or are you talking about, like, New York style, or the thick kind?
They really like the classic Italian flatbread Neapolitan style. One place out here does sourdough bread, and it's awesome. Sourdough bread for pizza. It's really good.
Ooh,
yeah.
That sounds delicious.
So pizza game is on point here, and I'm going to get back to the sex-mix question, but the seafood is the best seafood I've ever had, and the reason is it's just from right down the street. So as a counter, getting a good steak out here is a lot of work, and you usually got to be willing to pay $50 for what's really a $30 steak. Like, so it's not worth it. You do it like once a year, and hopefully you do it when someone's taking you out for dinner for some reason. Like, this, like, work is paying, you know, because it's not worth it. Because they're not into seasoning or marinade, because they want the food to just taste, I guess, natural. Because because seafood, it makes sense to do that, right?
So, oh, yeah, it's fresh spot.
Because it's just living in marinade its whole life. It's swimming around in marinade. Not only salt water, but, like, the blood and guts of all his fallen friends, because the goddamn ocean is a fucking bloodbath, if planet Earth has taught me anything. So,
yeah.
Because of that, they're not super into seasoning their food or doing marinades. And for Tex-Mex, it's all the marinade. It's all the seasoning. And because of that, they get real lazy with it. Like, I know when beans came out of a can. I know when every tortilla is the exact same shape, these came out of a bag, you know? So one of my rules of thumb here is if they make their own flour tortillas, they might be decent. If they make their own corn tortillas, now we're talking. But I haven't met a place out here who makes its own corn tortillas, so I haven't tested that theory. Because they're not fucking around with corn tortillas, because New England people, and I want to say white people, but honestly it's all New Englanders, they like unsalted rice with some pinto beans and boiled chicken with some lettuce. Like, it's just trash. Oh, yeah. It's trash. That's... So I would gladly play $7 for a taco that had, like, feta or some crazy shit on it, just to have something that feels like it tastes like something else, you know? Everything here...
I know where my next destination is.
It's like Play-Doh. It's like fucking Play-Doh food when it comes to food out here, except with the exceptions of seafood and pizza. All of it is mostly trash. Do you get a couple of standouts here and there? Worcester randomly is really good at Southeast Asian food because we have a big refugee community here. Other than that, though, I would kill for fusion taco. I would never touch that in Houston.
Okay, so I gotta ask you this on a sidebar. How does your toilet handle this change? Because for me, seafood all day, you gotta feel great. You gotta feel great. Tex-Mex, that's gonna take a toll. You know what I mean? Like, in all honesty, we're talking about, you know, your health here. That's more like we're not talking poop jokes, Jorge. Okay? I know you all expect me to talk about poop jokes, but I'm talking about your health. How better do you feel?
Hey, fuck it. Let's get into it. Let's talk about our fucking our shits in the toilet. My general diet, I mostly cook my own food, mostly some combination of meat and vegetables, although occasionally I'll get lazy and just air fry some wings, and that's my dinner.
Delicious. Air fry, oh, fancy.
Yeah, well, we got one for Christmas.
Really?
We got one for Christmas.
Nice. Joe, are you air frying?
I eat an abnormal amount of protein, and I don't know if this is why, but I only take a shit like every fucking 3 days, man. It's the worst.
Oh, dear God.
Hey, man, you fucking ass. You want to get into it? Let's do it. Joe Hoff, you
know. No, this is me loving you. Like, I'm concerned. That's all. Like, I want to talk to you, brother. Let's see, no one asked these questions, so you're okay with it. You know what I mean?
No.
I'm asking, so now I'm concerned. That's not okay.
The worst.
I'm going to send you a taco or two every now and then. We're going to fix this.
The worst part is my fiance is just fucking regular as shit, and I'm just like, fuck, I'm jealous all the time. Just fucking bloated every day.
Nights.
Yeah, it's the worst. What I wouldn't give for some classic, just like too many pepper shits, like that'd be great. I'll take it.
Yeah, you know what? It's a healthy thing. Three times a day. That's like, I feel like a kid again. You know what I mean? Like, doesn't happen all the time, but like, man, I'm on top of the world.
That is the oddest version of reminiscing about your childhood that I've ever heard.
Old three-sitter Jake.
Yeah, we all remember.
You remember that. Couldn't take him anywhere.
Yeah.
Old three-shit Jake.
Old three-shit Jake.
Oh, man.
Hanging out with Stagemont.
I heard he crossed over Gerald Green and took a shit on him.
Yeah.
Right mid-game.
He got so scared he's light-skinned now.
Hey, shout out to Sagemont, the cage courts out there.
Hey, man, hey, I can't talk shit about nobody's skin tone living out here in the frozen north, man. Every once in a while, like in February, I look in the mirror and I'm like, shit, I should go get a mortgage.
Oh, but
Joe, how often do you take a shit? We're in here. Let's talk about it.
I'm a two a day. Usually on the wake up and the come home.
I'm pretty happy if I get one a day.
Like clockwork? You talking clockwork, Joe?
Yeah, like no, legit, like when I wake up and when I get home from work. But see, like I work at a shitty bar, so I eat a lot of shitty bar food, so...
Joe, man, you gotta quit eating clocks.
Yeah.
On a brand new coupe with no roof. $150 tennis shoe, no suits. We some ballers, pimp. You oughta be following our suits. No ad-libbing, nigga, just do like I do. Don't get it confused, dude, I'm not you. If you ain't heard the news, I'm known as the truth.
That brings me to another question I want to have. This all is in the realm of food. And even Tex-Mex, of course. So, you know, we all have different paths that we have taken in life, you know. And I bring this up because, man, like I said, I listened to the first podcast. I'm like, oh, shit, I'm talking to my boys again. And they've been, you know, kind of reminiscing on the good old days. That, you know, that brings a question about food. Like, we've all kind of chosen our paths and whatnot. I just wonder how it's changed your diet. Because we talked about, like, Jorge, you're not doing good as of right now on the intestinal situation
here. Hey, on the plus side, though.
But you're eating at home. You're cooking for yourself, which sounds good to me. And you got an air fryer.
This is the last time you saw me. I've also probably lost a bunch of weight. So it's give and take.
You look absolutely amazing.
Agreed.
Yeah, you look great.
Thank you, sir.
I'm sorry I didn't say that in the beginning, but yeah, you look great.
Thank you. What was that thing we were talking about last time? Chads? I'm going to be a Chad here soon enough. Oh, dude, I did find, maybe this is something we could talk about later, but I did finally watch Karate Kid.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, that's right.
We need to talk about this later, but I want to get on to this food trend here. Because right. I'll tell you right now, I'll just give you an example to kind of feel it out. Corey, I kind of got an idea of where you're at. I'll tell you. So I cook all day and then, you know, work on the computer, but I'm always tasting little things, like just whether it's sweet, whether it's savory, sour, you know, acid, whatever it is, I'm tasting constantly. And at the end of my day, I'm not even hungry, right? So I get home, you know, I'll drink a couple beers, have a glass of bourbon, but I can't even eat. So the time that I am hungry, I have nothing in my fridge. I have condiments. I have all the hot sauce because it's necessary.
That's probably all that acid you've been eating at work.
Acidity, excuse me. No, you can't get good acid out here. It's just, yeah, so it's not a lot I eat until maybe, you know, three beers turns into six beers and, you know, one glass of bourbon turns into, you know, four glasses of bourbon. Then at that point, okay, I'm hungry. And then I'm probably, and this goes against my moral code on food, but then I'm going like Taco Bell or frozen pizzas, and that's pretty much my diet at home, which is not good at all. But that's kind of why I've gained some pounds. So I just wanted to see, like, what's going on in you guys' life as far as, like, your regular diet day to day?
So I think I'm in a similar situation to you because I also work in a restaurant. So
yeah.
I eat at random. Like, my eating schedule is random, like really random. I typically eat lunch at 3:30 to 4 o'clock. So that means if I eat dinner, it's around 9:30 to 10.
Yeah.
Like, it's weird. And also, since I work around food so much, like, there's a random day, like, oh, here's tacos at 12, and then here's some more shit at 3. Like, it's just, there's no set schedule. There's nothing, it's just random, and I'm around just crap food all the time, especially at work. Like, and I'm not saying my work's food is crappy. It's just stuff that's bad for you. It's bar.
Yeah, shout out to wherever. Joe, you want to say where you work?
I won't say where I work.
Shout out to.
Yeah, I won't say where I work.
Just so you know.
Yeah. Joe's also not my real name.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, it's actually my real name.
That's right.
Oh, who are we? What is this?
It's everything's fried. Everything has a fucking glob of cheese on it. It's hard to keep up. So when I do try eat at home, I typically only cook chicken and I roast broccoli and cauliflower. Like, that's literally, if I'm cooking a meal, that's what I'm cooking. It's a different cut of chicken every time, but really that's about it. And I try to eat when I'm at my girlfriend's house. She'll make stuff and she's like really fit and really healthy. So she'll make me better meals. But when I'm at home, I get home, I'm tired as shit. I'm going to stick some chicken in the oven and some broccoli and cauliflower in the oven and call it a night.
But you know what? That's amazing. That's good. Like, broccoli, cauliflower, that's number one, delicious and so healthy for you. Chicken is great too.
Yeah.
I am curious to know what your girlfriend is cooking.
Can I jump in here real quick? Two things and then I'm back off.
Yes.
Are we really not going to call out that my girlfriend's really fit, humble brag? Did he just try to slide in there?
We were getting to that.
And two,
not intentional. Yeah. That wasn't intentional.
Man, it's so because it's so automatic.
I embrace it.
He doesn't even have to do it.
Yeah.
So and two,
yeah. And I'm two, a professional salesperson. I'm always working.
And number two, fucking cauliflower has changed my goddamn life. I love fucking cauliflower.
Cauliflower is great. You can eat it so many ways. Not only that, it like almost substitutes protein. Almost.
Yeah. Bro, they have at the grocery store. We actually live walking distance to a grocery store that's actually the closest food, so it's replaced our fast food. So either we get something that's already made, like the rotisserie chicken or something like that. But they have these cauliflower tater tots now that are the bomb.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
They're the bomb. Sure. Toss those hoes in an air fryer, man. Yeah.
You air fried them, of course.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Dude, all right. I got to know. Look, I listen to all these food podcasts, and I watch all these food websites and stuff like that. And there was a challenge. Like, somebody did a whole video on one of these food websites, and they did, like, this is the air fryer. How does it work? Is it amazing? And they said it was good, but for me, it's like the Impossible Burger. Have you heard of this? The Impossible. You might have. It's a veggie. It's basically a veggie burger that bleeds like a real, actual beef burger. And they say it tastes just like the same thing. That's why it's called Impossible. It's like impossible that it tastes just like a cow. And yeah, I said cow. If you're eating beef, it's a cow. You should know that. Anyways,
I really hope somebody learned that today. Listening right now. She's realized. She's realized. And I hope they have a pet cow and they don't realize what they've been doing. That'd be amazing.
Wait, hold
please
up,
holler at me. You have much hold to up, learn. Please call
you
me.
You saying beef is cow?
No, Joe.
Well, where did we get away from this? When did we stop calling a cow a cow? Like, it's beef. Why is pig pork? I don't know. Like, what is that?
I like how no one respects chicken or fish, though. We still call those chicken and fish.
No! Chicken is poultry.
Yeah, that's a category, though. We still call it chicken.
I call it poultry.
Especially, like, I think what's fun about chickens is we have so little respect for them. We also still refer to their body parts without euphemizing them, right? Give me a leg of that chicken. Give me a fucking wing. Like, we don't ever say give me a cow foot, right? Or a pig. Well, I guess you do say ribs, but we don't say, like, give me some pig ass. Like, we legit eat chicken breasts. I'll straight up dig out that little liver and eat that, and I know it's the liver. Like, sure. I'll ask for it. I'd be like, motherfucker.
That's a very good point.
Yeah. Like, I would legit eat chicken face if you convinced me that it tasted good.
Chicken face? Yeah. I mean, it'd be a small meal. It's not
That's why you eat.
It's not a lot of face in a chicken.
That's why you eat 50 of them, man. This is America.
Hey, 50? Now, okay. Now we're segueing into another food topic. Do you remember you and I had a somewhat of a power hour, if you will, with chicken nuggets around the Super Bowl time?
Oh, man, I believe it.
50 chicken nuggets, you and me.
Who won?
Who could... Oh, you won by... which was very disappointing to me. Like, I thought I could do it. Like, I had the heart of a champion, you know?
Shit, well, I got the heart of a heavy reader.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, can't get that heart rate up. No more chicken nugget marathons for me. I guess I'm like Joe, because I teach, so...
I just want you to know, we did that.
No. Me and Jacob definitely had a chicken nugget eating contest in our past, and I crushed him. I did a lot of those eating contests when I was young, and I won a lot of them. Maybe I don't know if I should be so proud of that. I couldn't do it now. I don't got the room for it.
We are going to meet each other here in the near future, and I won't say why unless you feel comfortable, but we are going to meet in the near future, and I feel like day before a celebration, we should eat 50 chicken nuggets to see who would win.
If you're asking me to eat 50 chicken nuggets
Jesus. Before
I get married,
is
that what you're asking?
Yes. Yeah.
Like
yeah.
The night before?
I think that's the night before.
I'm going to have to give you the no, but I want to say yes.
You'll say no right now.
Yeah.
When 50 chicken nuggets are sitting in front of you.
We agree on that much. I'm definitely saying no right now. All right, well, there's a question, if you don't mind me jumping in. What is the mass quantities thing you've ever eaten that you regret? Joe, you too. Something you regret eating a bunch. What did Joel used to call it? Eater's remorse?
Yeah.
Joe, you gotta go on that one. I'm not even sure.
It's not really a bulk thing. It's just this particular sandwich that I tried, or a burger I tried. So there used to be a burger place in Houston called The Burger Guys. Best burger place in Houston. They went out of business because nobody wanted to pay $15 for a hamburger. But it was fucking great. Yeah. But it was great. Like, it was worth every penny. But not as, like, a regular lunch thing. Because they also sold themselves as an everyman kind of place. Not a high-end place.
Sure.
So they had this burger they called, like, the Ghost Burger. Like, you know, ghost peppers. It had ghost peppers, habanero, jack cheese. Just, like, all this hot shit. Me, I'm kind of like, oh, fuck you. You say it's hot? All right, let's go. So I ate that for lunch. lunch on like a Wednesday. I had to go home at 3 o'clock because my stomach was on fucking fire. So that ruined my day. Like, legit, like, I took a nap. Like, I had to take a nap at 3 o'clock, and I woke up at, like, 10 in sweats. Like, it was not a good day.
Bruh, I got similar stories. One, when I was in my 20s, I think you were there, Joe. Me and Damon had a hot wing eating contest at Wings and Things in Houston with the secret sauce they have, the Mario sauce, the one that's, like, a joke that you're not supposed to have more than one.
Wings and Things, yes.
We each ate 20 of them and some change. And I legit shit blood, man. It fucking sucked. And then
we're back to the poo.
Hey, man, we're getting real or not?
Yeah, hey, let's go.
All right.
No, be real.
I've done the same. So I remember that. And then a few years later, I came out here to New England where spicy food isn't all that spicy. And they had a ghost pepper eating contest. And I went, and no one had ever beaten it. You have to eat 12 wings with a ghost pepper dry rub. Nothing to drink, nothing to dip, just you and wings. You have to eat them in 10 minutes or less, and I beat it. I was the only person who beat it. I haven't been to that restaurant back, so I don't know if anyone's beaten it since, but no one had ever beaten it before, so I beat it. And I remember I wore my cowboy hat for it, and he asked me what my name was so you could write my name on the wall, and I said, I want you to just write some crazy Texan. And I ran into that dude like a month later at a bar, and he remembered me. The third time I did that was like last year at another spot out here, who had ghost pepper wings, and they actually made you sign a waiver, like you won't sue. And I ordered it. I was like, yeah, bring it. It's one of those, like, if you finish them, they're free, you know? So it was 10 of them, I think. And they brought them out. They made me sign the waiver, and I'm being real, like, oh, that's cute. Haha, fanfare. Fuck me. That was legit, because I got through four of them, and then they all were, like, looking, because nobody had made it that far in a while. And I was like, what, they're not that bad. And then around six, like, my body shut down. I had to go home. And
oh, wow. And that's serious.
You think eating ghost peppers...
If you had to stop.
You think eating ghost peppers sucks on the way down? Try on the way up, man. Oh. Nothing will ever clear your sinuses like that, though, let me tell you.
Oh, no, that sounds horrible.
Yeah, that was...
But also sounds, like, invigorating. I don't know. Like,
no, that might have broken me.
I hurt myself. Dude, you know, I don't know. You like pain, obviously. You're a masochist. Otherwise, you wouldn't do this.
I will say that our mutual friend Melissa told me once that about how spicy I like food, that I would like something that kills me a little bit every time I do it.
Yeah, I get that. I totally get that. I do this. My whole team, all my cooks, look at me like, why? Because I'm not that guy. Like, I'm not you. I love spicy. But my range of spicy, I'll eat any caliber, but I will show, just like any amateur, how hot it is. Like, I'm not that tough. Like, I can handle this. If I can't handle it, I got a tub of ice cream, and I'm just scarfing it down, and I'm screaming, like, oh my god, it's so hot! You know, Tom Cruise, somebody help me! The entire time, like, if it's that spicy. But I still do it. I never stop. Like, it's just, it's one of those things, like, hey, today's going too smooth. I'm gonna eat this ghost pepper pickle, you know, and I have all that stuff just like stored away, kind of deal. And then come summer, all the farmers bring all these peppers, and I ferment these hot sauces, and I have them for the season, for the rest of the year.
That thing you just said about today's going too smoothly, I got to spice things up. That's how Joe feels about pantsing cops. I keep telling him to stop, but
what's that?
Joe, pantsing cops, man. I keep telling him,
Joe,
like,
you're trying to get me killed, man.
What's going on here?
Yeah. I just like the idea of Joe being bored and pantsing a cop.
Has this happened? Because if so, Joe, state your last name.
Dude, like on the reg.
For the cops.
First of all, I'm Joe. That's a.k.a. Joe. I'm actually Joe.
That's gotcha, suckers. You'll never know. Can't jam us up.
My name's
really Jacob,
Fiona.
And I have never pantsed a cop. Fiona. So, Joe, like, have you ever done these spicy challenges or anything like that?
I did. So, well, I think last New Year's, but New Year's before last, rather, we did the hot wings challenge from the YouTube channel. I don't know if you've seen it.
Yeah, I've watched it.
Yeah.
I watched
We did all the sauces. Like, we bought all the sauces they were doing that year, and we all got together for New Year's. That's what we did. We did that challenge. I got to 9, and I could have finished, but I was drinking milk the entire time, and the milk made me sick because I'm lactose intolerant. So I started throwing up because of the milk, and so I had to tap out at 9. But Melissa finished it. She did all 10. Dang. And she was like, I've had 2 kids. This ain't shit. Woo!
Shout out to Melissa, wherever you are.
Yeah. No shit. Wherever you are, Mel.
It was baller. It was baller.
Melissa will be on next week's podcast.
Yeah, right.
And she'll explain her experiences.
She'll be at the wedding.
Filling us other shit that she thinks is for pussy because she's had 2 kids.
Yeah.
Pants and cops. Absolutely. Take off his shirt too, you bitch.
Alright.
For them boys, it's purple and zip yellow. Shorty shake it jelly like jello. She curving like a cello. Damn, baby broke me off before I even said hello. Is it the car? Is it the ice? Is it the grill? Cause I'ma start and pay the price to keep
it true. We gotta move on to this conversation of Karate Kid. And let me start by saying this. I listened to this episode of you all talking about it, and I was in there pulling my hair out because I was like, Jorge is like classic Jorge, aka Joe, talking about. I was thinking about a name because I think you guys were trying to figure out a name or something like that. I don't know, but yeah, Joe Hay sounds qualified. I'm listening and I'm just dying because Joe / aka Jorge. Oh man, this is gonna be hard. The more I drink, so he's sitting there telling the story, and then Jorge, is just dissecting it before Joe, aka Jorge, could even get it out. And I'm just like, oh man, this is horrible. You just gotta see it, Jorge, aka Joe, Jorge, whatever. You gotta see it, man. It's you have, which is great. So that was one of the things, and we texted about it, and I was like, dude, you gotta watch it. You just don't know until you watch it. And hopefully you respected the timeline, or the 80s, at least, or just understand that this movie came out in the 80s, and you respected this, like, kid-friendly karate movie. Karate, dude. And nowadays, it's all kinds of different, or martial arts.
So, as we talked about on that pod, because of just my like upbringing, I missed out on a lot of shit like this. So it's always sketch when I go back because some shit everybody liked is trash. Like, what is it? The Neverending Story. That movie sucks. Like, they're literally running from nothing. I don't gotta watch that to know that. Like, you know, I'm running away from nothing right now. Like, it's not that hard, right? Like, I don't understand why people like that movie. Other movies turn out to be gems, like Princess Bride. Like, I get why everybody loves that one. That movie's great. But generally speaking, I liked it. I really liked it. I may have overthought parts of it. Like,
classic
Joe
Hay.
Sort of watching it to, like, you know, I don't want to say pick it apart in a sort of antagonistic sense, but definitely to sort of find out its nuts and bolts. I had a lot of, I guess, I don't know, reactions and thoughts. Like, for example, I thought it was interesting because I watched that fight, the first one, because he gets bullied 3 times. So the first time he gets fought is on the beach. But it's a one-on-one fight. I don't know if that really counts as bullying. The third one is after the school dance when he does that, when he soaks the Cobra Kai kid, Johnny. He soaks him with the water. And Johnny was trying to roll a joint. And if anybody needs to smoke a joint, it's fucking Johnny. So I feel like Johnny was vindicated in some of that because that's a whole-ass move, man. I'm trying to roll a joint. I'm 15. It's the 80s. You know how hard this was to find? It's not like today where I can just get weed from, you know, anybody down the street. I live where it's legalized, so, like, it's whatever. But in the 80s, as a 15-year-old, even if you're a rich white kid, that shit was an effort to get. So,
oh god,
fuck Daniel a little bit for that.
Joe, chime in on this, please. What do you think about this?
I want to hear his full recap.
Okay, all right, that's fine.
Then I'll pick it apart.
All right. So, and then there's the middle one with the bike, where I loved the way it was shot because it's the classic, like, cut away, cut back, and now it's this big dude on the bike who makes himself flip, and he rolls down the hill very dramatically, and then they cut away and cut back, and it's just Daniel rolling over, like, whoa, that was rough. Like, the classic, like, 80s stuntman shot. A lot of this stuff was so wonderfully eased. It made me really smile. Like all the 80 station wagons. There was the mom said something at the beginning about how when they moved, she was like, "I work in computers. You can't get a good job with benefits working on computers." And that was just, I just thought that was super funny. they got that so wrong. I do want to point out, I actually really liked it. I'll admit, I really liked it. I was surprised how much I liked it. Did anybody notice? I don't know if you guys rewatched it ahead of time, but
you did. Rather rewatched it
where Daniel. It sprays water on Johnny while he's trying to smoke a joint. The kid that's in there that helps him was a black Spider-Man.
Ah!
Maybe it was Miles Morales. We don't know that it wasn't.
It wasn't.
I like it, though.
He was a little chunky. Yeah. He was a little chunky. The first scene where Daniel is with Elizabeth Shue, and also, holy crap, Elizabeth Shue. I didn't know she was in this.
I think it's her first major role.
Yeah.
When she's hanging out with Elizabeth Shue, one of the Cobra Kai kids looks over and says, "Must be take a worm for a walk week." And I want to know what kind of culture that school has where that joke makes any sense to anybody.
It's 80s teen movie. They can't really say anything real bad.
Now, I'm building this sort of Karate Kid universe. Last time I said that Karate Kid 3 might be a prequel to Million Dollar Baby. I am here suggesting to you that this movie somehow belongs in the Harry Potter universe because Johnny is clearly related to Draco Malfoy.
Johnny's the basis of Draco Malfoy. Johnny's the textbook villain, of the blonde-haired villain of 80s movies and sets.
Yeah, I could see.
He's the original.
He might be his dad.
He created this character.
But I think it might be the same character. My theory is that Johnny is Draco Malfoy's father.
Somehow. Well, but I don't know. Draco is more pathetic than Johnny is. Like, I don't think Johnny's pathetic at all in the movie. Like, Draco's pathetic in the Harry Potter movies. Like, even his bullying is ineffective. Like, they're not scared of him. He's just more of an annoyance than a bully.
That's what always happens, right? Because he grew up in privilege. Johnny probably had to earn it. You saw Cobra Kai. He's all washed up.
Did you watch
Cobra Kai? Yeah, at that point, but not during the Karate Kid.
Did you guys watch Cobra Kai, though?
I've seen all of it. I want to watch
it. You watched all of it?
I saw it like the day it came out. I watched. Wow. I marathoned that shit. Oh, yeah.
So you bought the YouTube thing, all that stuff.
I loved it. I didn't expect to love it as much as I did. I loved it.
I thought it was great.
Yeah.
So start to beginning, you, Joe, a.k.a. Jorge, you loved it? Like, all the way to the end?
There are some things I didn't like. I don't know how much we want to get into spoilers.
Yeah, no, you're right. Right, because that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I had to watch it. Dude, and Karate Kid was a great thing in my childhood. I thoroughly loved it.
I really want to talk about Mr. Miyagi.
Let's do it. I love Miyagi.
He's the man.
Yeah, dude, he's pretty great. Like, well, first of all,
I told
one
you.
Of the first things I thought of. You're right. You were right.
I love this.
You were right. But I'll tell you why, because secretly I didn't realize this was always the movie that I've been waiting for, and I'll tell you.
Wait, I'm gonna
write this. Listen, I'll explain it. So Mr. Miyagi, what's interesting about him, the first thing I thought when Mr. Miyagi, this, you know, Japanese man, or I guess he's Okinawan, is meeting this young Italian boy from New York. And they have this relationship, and they have this sort of alternate kinship, right? Like, it's a father figure and a son figure. He never had a son because his wife died young, and he doesn't know his father, or his father's just not around. They don't really talk about him. So you have this sort of father-son dynamic happening to him. And the first thing I thought of, like, Italian boy, Japanese man, this is so American. These two people don't meet anywhere else. So I thought that was kind of cool. And especially, like, the way thematically they are sort of compatible. Like, again, I already pointed out they're both missing family members, so they fill that role for each other. They're sort of, in a sense, both immigrants. Miyagi's a literal immigrant, but Daniel is moved from coast to coast, so he's displaced. He doesn't understand the culture or the rules. So you have that sort of two immigrants kind of story happening. But, Joe, last time you mentioned that he had been interned and that he was in North Korea. So I looked into it a little further. I have some corrections about that, and these corrections are essential. And I actually read – I have not seen Karate Kid 2 or 3, but I read the Wikipedia articles on it to see if my theory was true, and it is true. And that's this. So he was interned in Manzanar. And for just a little history, I've actually studied a lot the internment quite a bit, which shocks me that I've never heard of Miyagi being an interned figure. I have a an article on it somewhere, and I have another one coming out soon, I hope, knock on wood. It's one of my summer projects. But he was interned in Manzanar. And in Manzanar, you were given this option of fighting for the U.S. So if you were willing to sign up for World War II, you were let out of the internment camp. So that's how he got out. So he got out by fighting, and then of course his wife dies in the internment camp, which is crazy, and they don't talk about it enough, but still. But he didn't fight in Korea, he fought in Germany, which is a key distinction, because that means if he's an infernal intern, and I looked it up, so I was glad to see that the movie did its homework. If he's a former internee who joined the World War II, he could only have been part of the 442nd Infantry Regiment, which is made up mostly of former internees. I know that because the other distinction they have is the 442nd is the most decorated combat unit in U.S. military history. They have, and they must have known this because they gave him one of the medals of honor. But there was initially, so the unit is 4,000 men at any one time. They cycled through, so as many as 14,000 different men were part of it, most of them former internees. Out of those 14,000 men, almost 10,000 earned Purple Hearts. 8 got presidential citations, 21 medals of honor. They are the most amazing fighting force of all time. They have this one battle they had to scale. It's the battle of the Gothic Line, where they had to scale the sheer rock wall because the Germans were encamped with their backs to a cliff, so you could only go in one way, and you had to break through to get to, it wasn't Berlin, it's one of the other major spots, I don't remember. But they had to get through it, so the 442nd was tasked with figuring out a way to do it. So what they decided to do was to climb the cliff wall. And they did it in the dead of night, and they made this pact that if you fall off, you don't scream, so you don't give us away. And I don't remember the exact number, but a few dozen fell to their deaths silently to not betray the group. They made it up the cliffside by dawn, took out the machine gun nest, and they were able to, push back the German line. It's one of the most...
I can confidently say that I think Mr. Miyagi was a part of that, because he was a man of few words. So I feel like he would have been...
But that medal he shows Daniel is a medal of honor, so he probably was at that battle, which is the most amazing fucking battle. And I've always been annoyed at World War II movies because the 442nd, I think, given how much we love fucking war movies, we've never seen a movie about the 442nd, and you'll never see one because you have to talk about internment to tell that story. And we're never going to do that.
So I guess what you're really saying is that Karate Kid may be the greatest movie ever made.
It really might be. That is what I'm saying. It's definitely the closest I'm ever going to get to a movie about the 442nd.
I will cheers to that. Yeah, that's amazing.
But what's especially interesting about that is that the evil Cobra Kai guy, I forget his name, the sensei for Cobra Kai. Do you remember his name?
I don't know.
I don't think he ever said his name, to be honest.
Let's call him Johnny Sr. It doesn't really matter.
I don't think they ever said his name.
They said his name for sure. But anyway, it doesn't matter. He's a fucking chump anyway. He's not Miyagi. But if you looked at the wall of stuff, when they introduced him, he has all these pictures of himself on the walls. I don't know if you looked at those, but I rewound it and took a good look at him.
He's got one.
He's also a veteran.
Yeah, he's got one with the machine gun.
But he's a veteran from Vietnam. So there's a subtext here of the good soldier versus the bad soldier, but two sides of the same coin happening with...
John Kreese. Sorry, I just Googled it like a jerk.
Wait, his first name is John? So I was right. Kind of, we could have gone with Johnny Sr. But there's also this sort of Mr. Miyagi represents World War II and the sort of heroism and nobility of World War II, or at least the way we like to remember it. And the other guy represents Vietnam. And there's a lot of Vietnam is the dark side of something happening in the 80s all the time anyway, because the war has been over now 10 years and it's filtering into culture now. So I just thought that was interesting. I wish those two things had been bigger parts of the movie, but that's just because I'm kind of a history nerd. That's not really.
Yeah.
Nerd.
Now you? Absolutely not. No one got that from that.
So I loved it. It was fun. I didn't think I'd like it. I honestly... didn't think I'd like it as much as I did.
Well, you gotta watch Karate Kid 2, because it goes so deep into everything you just
said. It's all his backstory.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
But it's mostly about... It's not a good movie. Karate Kid 2 is not a good movie.
Whoa!
But it's about
it's
his
not a
life
bad movie.
In Okinawa. It's... When's the last time you watched it?
I watched it today!
Did you?
I couldn't. I watched the first one. I was like, I gotta watch the second one now.
There's a lot of Karate Kid 2 that didn't age.
Well, okay, I will say this. You're right. You're right, because you know what? I finished it, and I was like, I'm not watching Karate Kid 3. Like, that was... All right, that's enough.
So I actually enjoy Karate Kid 3 because it's so bad, I can laugh at it. Like, it's just so over the top and exaggerated. Like, I kind of enjoy watching it on a Saturday, like, when it's just on TV, because it's so just bad. It's such a terrible movie.
I mean, I totally get that. I guess what I'm trying to say is I was over it. Like, Karate Kid 2 just took me out of it. It's like, all right.
Yeah.
So I guess you're right. I agree. But
don't watch it, though. Only watch it if it's on TV. That's the only way to watch Karate Kid 3.
Hey, it's a good Netflix and chill. Like, you know, to all you kids out there, listen to me.
Yeah.
Listen, if you're young, listen to this. Watch Karate Kid 2 with your girl and just put it on low and do your thing. After that, nothing else matters. You don't have to watch it. You can just do whatever on the couch or the... What are those sofa couches or the bed couches called?
Pull out couch?
Yeah.
I feel like you're the type, though, Jacob, that's going to pull out and be like, wait, I love this part.
Fuck, you're right. Yeah, that's fine.
Is that a dick joke?
I mean, it can be.
Hey, it is now.
It's my favorite part.
I'd like for it to be a poop joke. Let's get this full circle.
All right.
Oh, yeah. Three shit Jake.
Hey, that was Sagemont.
I've accomplished what I wanted to accomplish. We talked about dicks and poop.
Yeah, I gotta get going because it's been over an hour.
Wait, it sounded like you just pounded a like a Red Bull or something. Is that what I heard?
No, just water.
Oh, it's water.
Waters. I had a cold brew before I started this.
Jorge.
What the hell is cold brew?
You don't know
it's
cold
tea.
Brew?
No, what's cold
Arizona
brew?
Tea?
No, it's just coffee.
Oh, the coffee. Yeah, the coffee.
Yeah.
That's right.
Nah, man, I don't drink cold. I don't like cold coffee.
I like any kind of coffee.
It makes me burp. No, I love coffee, man, just generally, but I don't like, especially anything Central American. That's the best coffee, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Ethiopian coffee is good, too.
I love Vietnamese coffee. Vietnamese coffee is very strong and it's very good. They had a boba place across the street and they had some great Vietnamese coffee. I'm a Jake fan.
I will say this. Some of the best banh mi's, if you all you know the Vietnamese barbecue pork sandwich, it's called banh mi. It's made on a French baguette. It's absolutely
great.
Got a pate, like a pork pate. You can get it in chicken pork. Comes with some mayo, pickled daikon, carrots, fresh cucumber, cilantro, jalapeno. All
right, and Jake, we got to get going. So why don't you tell us a little bit about where you're working, your new restaurant, and anybody out there who's listening?
I thought we
plugs.
Did that already.
Plugs.
Okay, just want to say shout out to Louisville. I live here now, and I just want to say that we got this bar that has awesome food, 100 classic cocktails, called Red Herring Cocktail Lounge and Kitchen. Come see me. I'm there every single day if I'm not doing this podcast, which this very might be my last podcast ever. I think I might have done a bad job here. Sorry, guys. But, hey, aside from the poop and dick jokes, I won't bring those up at Red Herring. Come have a cocktail. Oh, I just did it. All right, sorry. That's it.
Hey, man, I've driven to Louisville a couple times. I spent the night there a couple times driving from New England to Texas, and Louisville's a fun town.
Right on. Thanks for calling, man. It's good to see
you.
Yeah.
All right, homies. Well, that's it then.
All
right. Go get back to work.
Thanks for having me on this thing, man. I love you guys.
Oh, yeah. You were great, man. Don't be hard on yourself.
Yeah. We'll be hard on you later.
Or in you.
It took a long time to get there, but we're finally here.
Yeah. All right. I got to do this shit. I'm talking to you. With the chicks and the drugs. This is GIP 1 being Slim Thug.